Give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. He deserves it. Hallelujah. We worship the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, God is worthy of all of our praise, isn't he? I mean, we have something to shout about. Our Lord and our Savior is alive forevermore. Glory, hallelujah. And because he lives, you and I live also. So we thank God for the privilege to come back into his presence and give him glory, honor, and praise that he so rightfully deserves. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You ready? Are you ready for what God has you today? I want you to look at someone next to you and say, are you expecting? Did you come with an expecting heart? What are you expecting? Are you expecting God to meet your needs? Are you expecting to get some nuggets from the Word today? Hallelujah. You know, if you didn't come expecting, you got exactly what you're going to get. If you don't expect nothing, you're not going to get nothing. But I expect God to move mightily. I expect his word to come alive. Why? Because it is alive. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you can. If you can't, if you're that excited, just stand up and walk around and worship the Lord as we go on with the service. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, God wants us happy. How many of you know God wants you happy? He wants every need you have met. It's already been supplied. He's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we know him, or the better we know him, the more we have because of him. Woo, hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good? Glory, hallelujah. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrew chapter 4 today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And we're going to see what God has for us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for your presence. You are here, Lord, and we exalt you. You are here, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that when you went back to the Father, you did not leave us comfortless, but you give us the Holy Spirit. And you are here by your Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to rise up big on the inside of me. Give me the words the Father's wanting to say to us this day. Lord, I ask and I believe because you said in your word that if I call upon you, you would answer me and you would show me great and mighty things. So I'm calling upon you, Lord. And I thank you for that. And you said in your word, and your word is truth, that you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. So I do not stand here alone today, Lord. I stand in the power of the Holy Spirit to minister your word to your people. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Now, what we're going to be looking at today, I was praying this week. We was on vacation. I read and I'd pray, you know, and all. And, man, I couldn't get, you know, seem to the direction I needed to go and everything. I know he'd begin to bring something up in my spirit. And then I'd, you know how sometimes we are. We won't say, well, let me see what I can come up with. But, you know, you don't need to come up with nothing. You need to see what God has for us. And sometimes, how many of you know, this works even in healing and anything and everything else. Sometimes we try to do things on our own. Even though we know that Jesus paid the penalty for our sickness and our disease and brought healing to us. By his stripes we are healed. But sometimes we don't want to ask, or we just want to say, well, I think I can take care of this myself. And you know what we do? We mess up and we stay in the state we're in longer than we should. Woo, hallelujah. So let's see what God's word has for us today, okay? I got to hurry up. Glory, hallelujah. I'm looking at my clock, so, and you know what? That means nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Hallelujah. I just had to say that. Glory, hallelujah. So praise God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to be looking today at, and the title of the message is Entering into Rest. Entering into Rest. And in my Bible here, starting of chapter 4, it's wrote, challenge to enter into rest. How many of you know what he's talking about when he talks about entering into rest? Well, let's get in the Word and see what he said. He'll show you what he's talking about. We're going to read verses, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 first. Let us therefore fear. How many of you know what fear is? Huh? It doesn't seem a little bit strange that it starts out, let us therefore fear. And we know that God doesn't want us to live in fear. He's not talking about that. He says you need to set back, step back, and take a look at and see which way you need to go. How many of you know that God has set before us life and blessing, death and cursing? Now, he's not going to put curses on you and me. Jesus took care of that on Calvary. But you and I have a choice in our life that we have to make. Are we going to walk in the blessing and choose, and he further on goes and says, choose life? Are we going to choose life and blessing, or are we going to choose death and cursing? If we don't choose this word, then we've automatically chose death and cursing. Because his word is life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So he's saying here, fear. And it means you need to step back and look and see what's going on and see what kind of decisions you're making. Okay? Let's go on. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us and left of us of entering into his rest, if any of you should come short of it. You know, he said he's promised us we can enter into his rest. That's a promise from God. But that means, how many of you know that the promise, the Bible says the promises of God are all yes and amen. But that don't mean it's going to work, automatically work in your life. Why? Because you have to be a doer of the work. You have to put your faith in the Word of God and stand upon the Word. And when you do that, then this rest, this peace will come upon you. Amen. It don't automatically come upon you. You got to do something. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what you hope for. Faith is a substance to see the thing that you're hoping for come to pass. Glory, hallelujah. Okay? Look at verse 2. For unto us. Now listen to this. I want you to get a hold of this. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Now, he's talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and going to the promised land. That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying the word was preached to them, but it didn't profit them. He had already provided everything that the Israelites would ever need. But they had to do the same thing you and I did. We got to believe God and receive what God has for us. We got to believe God. All the way, and I want you to look at this, all the way through this journey from Egypt to the promised land, God was trying his best to teach faith to the children of Israel. He had already provided food when they needed it. How many people was it to come out of Egypt? Several million, wasn't it? And if he could feed all of those, if he could water them and all their animals and everything, Do you think they should worry about anything? But they did. Why? Because they see in the natural and they want to do things or see things and how it happens for themselves instead of believing God and receiving what God has for them. Hallelujah. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached. Listen, say, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. If you don't mix faith with this word right here, it will never manifest in your life. The word's not enough. Not to get all your needs met. You got to have faith in that word. Look what he said there. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You got to have more than just the word. You got to have the faith to believe and receive that word. Believe is not just enough either. You got to have faith to receive it being manifested in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is God stirring you now? If he ain't, we'll pray for you. Hallelujah, because he's been stirring me. The word preached did not profit them. Have you ever seen anybody you go to church with, you've been in church somewhere, you know, and you come back and they have an awful message, awful service, awful. Just the presence of the Lord is awesome, just like he is here. And somebody go out there and say, well, I didn't get a thing. I didn't get nothing out of there. You know why? Because the word preached did not profit because it was not mixed with faith and them that heard it. You got to mix it with faith. Now let's look at this. The word mixed in the Greek. Now I can't pronounce that, but I can spell it for you. Hallelujah. The Greek word for mixed is S-U-G-K-E-R-A-N-N-U-M-I. Which means to mix together, to mingle, to blend together. Temper by mixing. You know what temper means? Have you ever heard tell of a pocket knife? People makes knives and stuff like that. Horseshoes and all that stuff. Blacksmiths. They have to throw that iron into a fire, forged fire, and get it so hot it changes. And they beat it and they shape it and do everything. And they stick it in water and do all kinds of things to temper that knife. And temper means to make it stronger than what it was. That's what happens to you and I when we mix faith with the Word of God. We become stronger than what we ever was before. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? When you are weak, say that I am strong. Not in myself, but in the God, in the power of God. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So without the Word, I'm not strong. But with the Word, I am strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then in another word illustration that united faith and the Word, or unite faith and the Word is what he's talking about. Mixing it together. How many of you ever baked a cake? I hadn't, but my wife has. She's baked many. But I know she's got a mixer in there. And she puts everything in that mixing bowl and turns that mixer on and mix it all up. Now I want to put you an illustration here. This is just what the Lord just brought up in my spirit. I never thought about it. But you take Larry over there. He's going to bake us a cake. And we'll take Tammy. She's going to bake us a cake. Tammy's going to do everything and get all the ingredients and put it in that bowl and turn that mixer on and let it mix. Larry's going to get all the ingredients, just throw it in the bowl, not mix it or nothing, throw it in the oven and cook it. Now, whose cake do you want to eat? We Which one's going to taste like cake? Which one's not going to taste like cake? That's the way it is with the Word. If you don't mix faith with it, all you got is the Word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Everybody say, God is awesome in this place. Hallelujah. Yes. Now let's go to verses 3 to 5. So we know we got to mix faith with the Word if we want the results that God says we can have. If you don't mix faith with the Word, you're not going to get the results that God says you can have. That's just like tithing. Brother Reed was talking about tithing this morning. And you got to know who you're tithing to. Who deserves your tithes? Who is the Son of Man? He is Christ, the Son of God. And if you realize and understand that, you're not just giving your money to a man, you're giving your money to God Himself. And you are obeying the Word, and you're putting faith with that Word when you make that check out and step out and carry it to the altar and put it in the plate. When you do that, He's obligated by His Word to meet your needs. Woo, hallelujah. He's obligated. Well, I don't see how you can say God's obligated, because He said His Word. In His Word He is. He also says, I will never alter the Word that has come out of my mouth. So either He's going to do what He said He's going to do, or He's a liar. How many of you believe God's a liar? Well, then you better believe He's going to do what He's going to do, because if you don't, then you're a liar. Woo! Hold on now. I didn't say that. That's what the Word says. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. God, Your Word is truth. Hallelujah. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And listen what He's saying here. Those that heard the Word did not mix faith with it, and they did not enter into the rest. Look at verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God had already provided, already made the means for it, for the rest in the Lord and everything from the foundation of the world. Yeah, a lot of people might think that God sees a disaster coming on. He said, oh Lord Jesus, what we got to do? We got to take care of this. No, He's already took care of everything that will ever happen. He knows everything. He sees everything. He is everywhere. And you can't hide from Him. How many of you ever done things that you shouldn't do and you think, well, I'm all right. Nobody will ever see or nobody will ever know. And I'm talking about before you get born again. You shouldn't know that after we get born again. Well, can't nobody see what I'm doing? He said, that's why that evil people like night do all their evil deeds at night rather than during the day. They think they're getting by with it. Nobody sees them, but God sees. He sees. Hallelujah. Although the works were finished before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 4. He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest. How many of you know He's talking about here that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested? That's not the rest He's talking about here in Hebrews. There's two words in the Greek. One means a rest from your toils and your labor, like a Sabbath day rest. And there is a Sabbath day rest that we're going to enter into when we go to heaven, that we're going to enter into that Sabbath rest. All of our toils, all our troubles and everything is going to be left here on earth. But this is not what He's talking about here. I'll show you in a little bit. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Glory, hallelujah. And in this place again, he said, in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. You know, that seventh day is going to come, whether you observe it or not. But this rest he's talking about here, you and I have to do something to enter into this rest. And he's going to show us in a little bit. Glory, hallelujah. Now, glory, hallelujah. Faith brings rest, not the observance of some days. And he's talking about, we're talking about the seventh day, the Sabbath day. The faith he's talking about here, faith brings rest, not the Sabbath day, seventh day of the week where we rest from our labors. Okay? Faith brings rest. What did he say? What did he say up in the earlier in the chapter? The word mixed with faith. You got to mix the word with it in order to benefit from it. Glory, hallelujah. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He's talking about children of Israel again. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. How many of you know, how many died in the wilderness, never entered the promised land? Because they did not believe. What, all of them from 20 years up died in the wilderness. Why? Because they wouldn't believe God. They refused to live by faith. You know, and I'm going to say this, and I want you to take it in the right context. Miracles is not God's best for you. Did you know that? God's best for you is to walk in divine health. Miracles happen, but a lot of times they're few and far in between. This word can heal you every day of your life. Why? Because his word is spirit, it is life, it is health to all your flesh. Now, what you got to do in order to get that is what he just told us. We got to take this word and mix faith with it. Oh, man, God, I see that. Jesus bore my sicknesses. He carried my diseases. By his stripes, I am healed. 1 Peter 2 and 24. And by his stripes, we were healed. It's done, been done before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. But you got to mix faith with it. What does James say? Faith without works is what? Dead. Why? Because it's being alone. It's alone. You can't make a cake out of just flour or an egg. You got to have all the ingredients. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Seeing therefore, look at verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, that today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now that's why they didn't enter in, because they hardened their hearts in the day of provocation. That's because they provoked God. When you harden your heart against the things of God, you're provoking God. How do you know? That's what the Word just told us. Aren't you glad that he don't answer like he did in the old covenant? Huh? Open up the ground and swallow you up because you didn't believe and you murmured and you complained. Our churches would be empty about it, wouldn't it? I'm talking about churches where people fight like dogs and cats, and churches split and just ruin lives of all kind of people. People get out of church and never go back because of it. You know that ain't God. God is not the author of confusion. That's people giving over to the devil, demonic activity working through them. Ooh, hallelujah. Preach on, preacher. Hallelujah. I'm having myself a ball. I don't know about y'all. Hallelujah. I am. I do. Praise God. Why? Because I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. In verse 7, look at verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, they would not have afterwards spoken of another day. And that word translated Jesus there in verse 8 should be Joshua. I went different references because I said, if Jesus, if he can't give you rest, who can? But that should be. And in my Bible, it's got in a footnote down there that this is Joshua it's talking about. And you look it up. You look it up and see what you find out. Because I'm not going to change the word. But that's just what the margin, the footnote in my Bible. For if Jesus had given them rest, if this had been Jesus giving them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? He would never have spoken of rest in another day if he had gave them rest. But that's talking about Joshua. Glory, hallelujah. Because Joshua could not give them rest like Jesus can give you rest. Nobody can do it like Jesus can. Nobody can meet your needs like Jesus can. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, none of them. Ted Cruz, nobody is going to fix this broken nation. There's only one person can do it, and that's Jesus Christ. And the only thing that's going to make a difference is, just like he said in the Word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face, not the face of a politician, seek his face, repent, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Hallelujah. Say, God is all we need. I want you to say it. God is all we need. That's all we need is God. But in order to get God to move, then we're going to have to, how you move God? How do you move God? Through prayer and faith. Prayer moves God. Did you not know that? People pray very little nowadays in the church world. But I want you to go back and you go through this Bible and you show me and tell me how many times Jesus went apart to pray. How many times and how long did he pray? And I'll tell you something else too. Jesus was not just the Son of God, he is God. And every bit of the power in heaven and in earth is indwelled in him. And if he needed to pray, my God, what do we need to do? If he needed to pray, when he went out and he spoke to the blind, they saw. When he told devils to flee, they ran. How in the world did he do that? Because he stayed in the perfect will of the Father. He communed with his Father through prayer. Hallelujah. And if he had to pray in order to get recharged back up, and this is a person that had the Spirit without measure. You and I only have a measure of the Spirit. And if he had to pray, why in the world do we think we don't have to pray? Glory be to God. This is the Lord. I don't have none of this stuff wrote down. All I got is a few scriptures and a little bit of meaning of what they said. Hallelujah. But God knows exactly what we need. He knows what we need. Glory, hallelujah. Now, because Joshua could not give them rest like Jesus did in verses 4 through 8. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Ooh, hallelujah. Hebrews 4, and let's look at verse 9. There remaineth therefore, oh Lord, he's getting to us. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. If he is talking about Sabbath day rest and all this stuff, he wouldn't say there remaineth a rest for the people of God, because he'd already given us that seventh day, the Sabbath day for rest for our weary bodies, so we'd get rejuvenated, regenerated, and go back and work six more days. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and this is an eternal rest, like a Sabbath day's rest when we go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? Now this word, the rest there, is there's two Greek words for translated rest. And one is S-A-B-B-A-T-I-S-O-M-O-S. Keeping the Sabbath rest from toils and trouble in the life to come. You know, if you got Jesus as your Lord of your life, then you're going to enter into that rest. Now, that's the rest he's talking about that every saint of God is going to enter into. But the rest that he's talking about here in Hebrews and the children of Israel, that's not the same rest he's talking about. Because you can enter in to rest if you're a child of God, but the rest he's talking about in the children of Israel and the rest that he says we can enter into, he's not talking about that, because you can still go to heaven without entering into this rest we're talking about today. Because if you're born again, you're going to go to heaven. Now you might have to live through hell on this earth if you don't ever enter into the rest that he's provided for you. And the devil is out there to try to make sure that you don't enter in that rest. He wants you in turmoil. He don't want you to get a hold of this word and begin to... Faith comes from what? Hearing and hearing and hearing of the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. He don't want you to hear that word so you can cause faith to rise in your heart and begin to mix that faith with that word. Because if you ever do that, then God's word is going to come alive in you. And it's going to do everything he said it would do. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The eternal Sabbath day's rest. Look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. When you enter into your own rest. Glory, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Cease from the... What he's talking about here now, there, in verse 10. Let's read it again. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Cease, talk about ceasing from the law of works and accept by faith the rest that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you know God has redeemed us from the curse of the law? He has made a curse for us so we don't have to be cursed and live in a curse. What did he tell the foolish Galatians? He said, oh, you foolish Galatians, why have you been so bewitched? Do you think you can begin in the spirit and end up in the flesh? How do you think? You're so foolish. You know what he's saying is, how do you think that you can get born again? I'm going to say something here that you might not like. How do you expect you can get born again and then go back and try to please God under the law? You can't. The old covenant is there for our schoolmaster. The Bible said it's a schoolmaster that we learn from. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. No longer does he visit my children for my sins. People say, well, you know, there's a generational curse there. You know, yeah, I know it may be on you because you don't understand the word. When my Bible tells me that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, I believe with all of my heart that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. And there's so many people that'll get born again and try to live under the old covenant when they couldn't even live under it because it was so strict a covenant. Now, because there's no more sacrifices. What are you going to sacrifice living under the old covenant when there's only one sacrifice that took care of everything? Never no more to be another sacrifice. So why would I want to go live under something like that? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? Because he was made a curse for me. Hallelujah. So that I don't have to live under that curse. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. There you go. The grace of God mixed with your faith. And I'm going to tell you something else. He gives you his grace. He gives you his faith. Because he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I believe that's the measure of faith that it takes to get born again. And from then on, you got to grow and mature and increase your faith. How many of you know faith grows? As you begin to get in the Word and read and renewing your mind to the Word of God, renewing your spirit to the Word of God, faith rises more and more and more. If it don't, you know what that's telling me? You're not spending time in the Word. You're not spending time praying. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. I got to hurry up. I got a little illustration or a little bit of testimony I want to share with you today. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. He provides the grace, gives you his gift of faith so you can get born again. You can't say, I did it. No, you can say he did it. Why? Because he gave you the faith to believe his word. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. How many of you know it's not about me, it's about him? Hallelujah. It's about him. Look at verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter in that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What happened to the children of Israel? Those that were in unbelief, murmuring and complaining, and would not receive the rest that God had already provided for them, they died in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. Hallelujah. But God told Moses, and I'm glad God ain't like he was, or we're not under the same covenant they were under. Because God told Moses time and time again, he said, man, this stiff-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious people, I'm going to kill every one of them, Moses. I'm going to raise me up some people out of you. That'd been most of us. We'd say, God, I'm with you, man. You do it. Man, yes, I'm your man. Yeah, you go ahead and take care of them. But Moses said, no, God, if you're going to kill them, you kill me too. Because they're your people, God. And God would turn and begin to do a different thing. Hallelujah. But how many of you know we don't have to worry about that? We may leave this earth prematurely because we don't appropriate the Word of God in our life, because we don't keep praying up and keep the demonic activity out of our life. How many of you know Satan is out to do everything he can to take you out of here? If he gets a chance, he will. That's scary when you think about how little we pray, isn't it? I said we, didn't I? I said we. I didn't say you. I said we. If we only realized and knew, if we could see into the spirit realm and see all the things that's happened in the heavenlies, the atmosphere above us and the demonic activity that's going on, I believe we'd be on our knees a lot more than what we are. Glory, hallelujah. Let us labor. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest, lest any men fail or fall at the same example of unbelief. Glory, hallelujah. This is more than a Sabbath day rest here. Everyone can observe a rest period like on a Sabbath day. I mean, you can stay at home. God wants you to be in church. He set aside for worship, to rest from your toils and to praise and worship Him. But everybody can enter into that. Some people choose not to because they work 7 days a week. But that's their own doing. But they can only go for so long a time till they have to have rest. That body will shut down if it don't get some rest. So he's not talking about that. He's talking about the one we talked about a while ago, the Sabbath day rest. But here he's saying, there's more, this is more than a Sabbath day rest, which everyone can observe as a rest period. One has to labor to enter in this rest. One can fail to enter into this rest. Did you know that? Do you understand what he's talking about here? How many of you ever had a need in your life? I'm going to give you an illustration. How many of you ever had a need in your life? You really believe God, need a move of God in your life? I'm going to do my best to explain what he's talking about here. Okay? It's been, this past December was a year ago when I had open heart surgery. What? Yeah, it was a year ago, this past December, 2014, yeah. For a couple of years, I noticed that when I would get out and begin to do things and stuff and all, I begin to get short-winded. And, you know, I'd say, well, you know, since I quit working and just started pastoring, like it ain't nothing to pastoring, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, but it's not physically, but it is mentally. And I was a physical person, worked, had my own paint business, and had guys working for me and painted new homes and stuff. And I was active, working most of the time, 6 days a week, and for years upon years upon years, 12 and 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And so when I started pastoring, I had to still work part-time. And I would work part-time and just take Wednesdays and Sundays off, and maybe Saturdays too, to study and for Wednesday night and be ready, and then take off Saturday and Sunday to get ready for the service there, you know. So, well, you know. And so I just, after 10 years of pastoring, you know, I just began to gradually get this way, you know. And I said, well, it's just because I'm not active like I used to be, you know, and stuff. So anyway, it kept on. That went on for a couple of years. It began to get worse. I'd go out there and start to do something in my garden. I'd walk 50 feet or so, and I'd have to stop and catch my breath. And so, and my chest would get tight, and it started getting a little burning in there. So I said, you know, I might better go get this checked out. And I said, you know, keep saying, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Speaking the word. And so it kept gradually getting worse. So I began to feel a few pains shooting down my arm once in a while. So I said, well, I better go. So I called and made an appointment with my primary doctor. So I was headed over there, and I had a couple pains shoot down my left arm. So I got over there, and the nurse, they took me back there, you know, and I was telling them what had been going on. I said, I've been having some problems. I don't know if there's anything to it or not. I just need to get checked out. And she said, when's the last time you had some pain in your arm? I said, driving over here. Said, has your chest been feeling tight? I said, yeah, it has before, but it ain't right now. Next thing I know, they had me laying down with a nitroglycerin pill under my tongue and scrounging around there, putting a EKG on me. And so Candace, that was one of the nurses. She come running out. I said, Candace, did you just put a nitroglycerin pill under my tongue? She said, yeah. I said, what for? She said, you're having a heart attack and you're going to the hospital. I said, no, I'm not either. She said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. We done called the ambulance. I said, no, I'm not. I said, this is on Friday. And I said, Sunday, me and my wife is leaving to go to vacation. It's our anniversary, and we done got it planned, a week paid for it, everything. I said, and I am not going to no hospital. She said, well, you'll have to sign a waiver to him because we have to, by law, if you're having chest pains or anything like that, take you to the hospital. I said, well, I'll sign a waiver, but I am not going. She said, well, on one condition. She said, how long are you going to be gone? I said, we'll be out of town for a week. She said, if you promise me that you'll go to a cardiologist where I'll set up the appointment for you, as soon as you get back, I'll let you go. I said, I promise you. You make the appointment, I'll go. So we went on to vacation. Hallelujah. So we come back, and she did, called and gave me my appointment, my doctor, the cardiologist, and everything. So I went down there. And so I went in there, and asked me what was going on. I was telling him all, you know. And he said, you know, what we really need to do is run some tests. I said, let me tell you something. Hold on right now. We had insurance, but you know how many of you know insurance ain't that good a lot of times, you know. So I said, Doc, hold on a minute. I said, this was in October, I think. I'm sorry. But I said, hold on. I said, my Medicare will kick in February. I said, so let's not do no more than we have to until February. Hey, I was out of work. I mean, I hadn't worked none in several years. When I pastored the last year and a half, I didn't even take a salary, you know, and stuff and all. So, you know, I'm just, you know, so I believe God, you know, he'll take care of me. And so he said, man, he said, before you said that, I was going to send you straight on to get a heart catheter done. He said, but since you said that, he said, I'll send you get an eco stress test, yes. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, we'll go do that. And I was thinking, yeah, and you ain't going to find nothing. Hallelujah, and I'll be fine. So they set that up, and I went to do the eco stress test. So I got on that. See, if you ever had one, they got a treadmill beside of a bed. And they put you on that treadmill and run you till you fall. And then you fall, you just literally fall over on the bed. Well, what they did before that, they took and laid me on that bed. And that bed, you lay on your left side, and that bed's got a little trap door that they pull. And part of it opens up, and they can get that. Ultrasound and they look at your heart and take pictures of how your heart is beating in every place and all. So then they put you on that treadmill and they say, run as long, we got to have you run to 30. And I don't know if she's saying 30 minutes or not, but I thought to myself, if you start talking about 30 minutes, you're crazy. So anyway, I said, man, I don't know about that. She said, well, just run as long as you can. So got on there, and it wasn't running. It was just walking fast, you know. And I began, couldn't get my breath, and my chest got tight and everything. I said, man, that's about it. And she said, well, lay down. So I just fell over on the bed, and they took that thing. And I said, and they did that ultrasound and watched it and all, you know. And so they got done. I said, okay, we're done. I said, well, what's the result? I said, the doctor will call you in a couple of days and let you know. If there's something bad wrong, they will call you this evening. This is on a Friday. And so I went back home. And so this was in the morning. So I went back home that evening. Me and my son got ready, and we went deer hunting. So I climbed up in a tree stand. And I'd have to, a lot of times, just have to climb up part of the way and stop and rest. Climb up that tree stand way up in the tree. And no sooner than I got up in there and sat down and was catching my breath, and my phone rung. I keep it turned down where I can't hardly hear it when I'm in the woods hunting. But I do take it in case something happens and I have to have some help. Because you don't never know what's going to take place. Ain't no bears out there or nothing. But anyway. So that phone rung. He said, "Mr. Hagler," I said, "yes." I said, "This is so-and-so from Dr. So-and-so's office." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, the doctor wanted me to call you. Your stress test you took this morning." I said, "Yeah." He said, "He found a lot of abnormalities to it." I said, "Uh-huh." She said, "And he's wanting you to stress me to go ahead and set you up for a heart catheterization." I said, "Ma'am." She said, "What?" I said, "Can I call you the first of the week? I'm in top of a tree deer hunting right now." She said, "Do what?" I said, "I'm up in the top of a tree deer hunting right now." She said, "Lord of mercy, man, what in the world is wrong with you? The doctor said you was a prime candidate for a heart attack. You could have a heart attack any minute." I said, "Ma'am, I promise you I'll call you on Monday morning and set up a time." She said, "Monday morning?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I can't talk right now. I'm deer hunting." She said, "You better call me Monday morning." I said, "I will." So I got off the phone. So I was sitting there thinking about that, you know, just sitting there, my rifle standing there and all, you know, and all. And I said, "Man, alive." I said, "Day be a good day for a big old deer to come walking out down there." And I said, "Oh, man. I'm sitting up here on top of this tree deer hunting, and I haven't even went and got my hunting license." So I said, "Lord of mercy, if Gilmore catches me, he's going to take my gun and everything." So I said, "Man," I took my rifle, we believe in safety. So we got a rope tied to our stand where we tie our rifle on down before we start climbing up. And we get up and we just pull our rifle up with the barrel pointed down to the ground up in the stand. So I tied that rope on that thing and I dropped that rifle down, you know. And as soon as I got that rifle down, I done like this and looked up at a great big old deer over there. I said, "Oh, man," within 100 yards of my stand. And I said, "Man alive. And there's no way I would shoot that deer, take a chance on getting caught. And my rifle's already hanging down at the ground." So I just sat there for a little bit and the deer went on. And I climbed down. I went back. My son was hunting over in another part of the woods. And I go up there and I unload my rifle. I put it in the truck. And I just sat down out there. And when it comes time, he said, "What you doing up here at the truck?" I told him. He said, "Man, Daddy, if that had been me, I'd have sat right there and keep on hunting." I said, "You might have, but not this old boy." Anyway, so to make a long story short, so I did go and make an appointment for the heart catheterization. So I went to do the heart catheterization. They said, "We're going to do that. If you need any stents, we'll put them in while we're in there." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Man, you know, all they're going to do is shoot dye in there, go up in there and all this stuff, you know, and look, see if he's in blockages and put some stents in." So, you know, I prayed, you know, and I felt, "Yeah, but ain't no problem. I can handle that." So anyway, they went up in there. I went to get the heart catheterization. So if you ever never had one, you lay in there and you're awake. And he cut me right here and stuck that little camera up in here. I'm glad he didn't go in the groin because they talk like that's bad. But he went up in there and I sat there, laid there and watched him on the monitor as he was going around. And so a little bit, you know, and he said, "Well, we're done. Put everything up." I said, "Well, you're not going to put no stents in?" He said, "Man, we can't put that many stents in you." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, you got to have open heart. You got to have bypass surgery." And I said, "Oh, Lord." He said, "The surgeon will be calling you. I'll talk to him. And he'll be calling you." So I went home, you know, and I thought about it. Really thought about it. And I knew somebody that had open heart surgery and what they went through. So I said, "Nope, I'm not doing it." I thought about it for a long time. I told my family, I said, no, I'm not doing it. I said, I'm going to believe God for my healing. I said, what's the worst thing can happen? Is I die and I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. I said, to me, that's a win-win situation. So I pretty much had Patsy and the boys, my three boys, told them about, you know, and all. They didn't say a whole lot. But she told my daughter. So I was at home one day, and I guess Patsy was at work or something. And my daughter came up there, and I was sitting there talking to her. She said, Mama tells me you're not going to have heart surgery. I said, that's right. I'm not going to have it. I told her, I said, what's the worst thing can happen? I would die, but then I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. To me, that's not bad. That's what I'm living for. Huh. How many of you guys in here has got a daughter? She looked at me, and she began to cry. She said, Daddy, that sounds a little selfish to me. I said, what are you talking about? And she was just weeping. I reached over and I grabbed her and I hugged her. And I cried with her. And then after she left, she went home and all. For the next several days, I began to pray and really seek the Lord. My office was in my basement at that time. And I would walk the basement floor. I'd go down in my office just as a the way I do it all the time. I have praise and worship on my computer and stuff, and I would turn it on, and I have praise and worship going as I pray and walk around in there and pray and spend time with the Lord. And I'd do that, and I'd read the Word, and I'd do my devotion, different things and all, you know. But I begin to, and this is not the first time this has happened, but I begin to pray, and I begin to pray. In 15 minutes, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Now keep praying. I'm walking and praying and begin the presence of God begin to engulf me. And I was asking him, what do I need to do? Because if you never had a daughter and you're a man, that daughter can pull on them heartstrings. Hallelujah. I love all of my kids, but it's something just different about a little girl. Hallelujah. And I begin to pray and I begin to seek the Lord and I begin to weep and I begin to pour my heart out to God. And he began to speak to me in my spirit, impressions in my spirit, bringing the Word into my spirit up in there. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he impressed in my spirit. He said, go ahead and have the surgery. I'll be with you. And there's such a peace come over me, a peace that no fear could ever penetrate. That peace of God, that rest of God he's talking about here, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that everything's going to be all right. See, God tried to get the children of Israel to enter in that rest, that peace that he's talking about, and they would not because of a hardened heart. They would not. But God, fill me with that peace and that rest, that assurance. I never, never prayed about that again. I just thanked him for it. And no fear. Even when it come time, I went ahead and scheduled the surgery and everything. And even when it come time for, and I prayed for the doctors, God to direct the hands of the doctors, give them wisdom. They'll make the exact right decisions at the right time. And when it come time for the day of that surgery, the Lord God is my witness. I was as peaceful as if nothing was going on. And I told the doctor, I don't know, used to when I was there, when a church member of mine had bypass surgery, before they ever took him back to the operating room, they went ahead and gave him the anesthesia and all. They didn't me. They took me straight back, had me back there, and I was laying there in that operating room. It was cold and they were starting to get their everything ready to give me anesthesia and everything. And I said, wait a minute. Doctor was there. There were four or five people around me working. I said, could I say a few things? They said, yeah. I said, I want every one of you to know I've already prayed for y'all. I asked God to give you the wisdom to make the right decisions at the right time and to guide your hands, and that everything you do will be perfectly right. And they said, okay, we're fixing to put you under. And I went under as I spoke those last words. And I woke up, and I was believing God and praying and believing God for a supernatural recovery. I went home in a week. In 6 weeks, no, it was a little less than 6 weeks, I went back to my surgeon. He told me I didn't need to come back no more. He said, man, you're doing wonderful. And I said, God, I give you all the glory, all the praise. But there's that rest that I'm talking about. There is a rest for the people of God. The only way you're going to get there is through mixing faith with that word. You have a choice. You can either enter into that rest, or you can go through life being less than what you should be, or living less of a life than what you should be living, because it's a choice that you have to make. Do not harden your hearts, he said, as they did in the provocation, because they could not enter in to the rest that God had provided for them because of unbelief. So we got to believe the word, stand upon the word, and receive the word in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I want you to look. And verse 12 sums it all up. Sums it all up, verse 12 does, if I can see to read it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and the intents of, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is sharper, more powerful than a two-edged sword. You have to excuse me. I do get emotional sometimes. Now I want you to look back up there before I close. In verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. That's the rest he's talking about here. Lest any man fall after or into the same example of unbelief. See, you get in unbelief. I don't believe the word. I don't believe God. I don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody all the time. You go ahead with that stupid mentality, and you'll see one day you wish you hadn't made that statement. Because you open yourself up for the enemy to attack your body. I believe it is God's will to heal, because it was God's will to for every man to walk in divine health before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. It was God's will for man to live forever just like him. But sin brought death upon mankind. So it's the choices we make depends the kind of life we're going to live. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to read that verse 11 out of the Amplified, if I can. Glory, hallelujah. You have to bear with me just a minute, and that's going to be in closing. Glory, hallelujah. Verse 11 in Amplified. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God. To know and experience it. See, listen, to know and experience it. I know I have experienced that rest that he's talking about. Where no matter what the enemy tries to do, fear will never rise up. Faith overrides fear. And if you heard from God and you have heard the rhema from God, faith will withstand fear. Hallelujah. That no one may perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience in which those in the wilderness fail. Glory, hallelujah. There is a rest for the people of God. A supernatural rest for the people of God. The only way you will ever enter in is through faith and the word mixed together. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's just close our eyes for a little bit and just worship the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, or if you're in a backslidden state, and don't run from God. Lord, of mercy, run to God. He's standing there willing and able to forgive and to restore you. Hallelujah. Into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, hallelujah, you come on up. Hallelujah. We'll lay hands on you. I believe in the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. God has given us the ability and the power to lay hands on sick and they shall recover. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, I want you to come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you step out and come up, you're exercising your faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Hallelujah. If you have any prayer requests, hallelujah, we'll receive them at this time. Hallelujah. Miss Tammy's got some prayer requests from Jack.